From time to time, we all need to be re-energized. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shows us how to reignite our passion for God.
There ought to be some men in this room that ought to say, by the grace of God, none of these things are going to move me. I'm going to be a real man of God, bound in the Spirit. Not wearing my feelings right here, so that if somebody doesn't do what I want or give me my parking spot or call me just enough times, I'm going to quit. No, I'm not here in the flesh. I'm here in the Spirit.
Life can get busy. Responsibilities, relationship pressures, and schedule challenges can all feel overwhelming. Sometimes we just need to pause, evaluate, and start again fresh. In our series, Reignite, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants to transform through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you have ever felt stuck or powerless to change your environment, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Reignite Your Ministry.
Notice, first of all, he says the trials are not going to move me. He says the trials may come. I don't know the things that will befall me there. Now, you say, well, what kind of things were normal for Paul in his ministry? Well, look in your notes there at 2 Corinthians 11:24. He says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. He says, hey, that's been my repertoire so far. That's been sort of the norm so far. I don't know what's going to happen in Jerusalem, but probably there'll be a whole lot more of it. And I want to ask you this morning, what kind of a trial does it take for you to say, I'm out of here, man? What kind of a trial does it take for you to say, that's it? I want you to recognize so oftentimes Christians today, well, I don't know, I just think it might be a little easier here, a little easier there. I want you to recognize today, oftentimes it's something like this. Well, the job didn't treat me just right. Or, well, I didn't get to sing the solo part. Or, I just don't understand. And Paul said, I'm not going to let a trial move me. None of these things move me. And I want you to see in the scripture, oftentimes he was beaten. Oftentimes he was forsaken. Oftentimes he was treated with great pain and difficulty. Perils in the city and perils in the wilderness and perils in the sea and perils amongst false brethren. And yet he said, I will not let the trial move me. You see, you've got to determine what's it going to take for you to move. What's it take to get you to that place to say, you know, the people, it's just too much. The problems, they're just too much. James Cash Penny, successful businessman in the 1920s and had amassed quite a fortune until the Great Depression hit in 1929. And James Cash Penny had many bills that became due and much pressure that came into his life. And history records that he developed a terrible case of the shingles and tremendously painful malady in his body, and he went to the hospital and couldn't get rid of the shingles, and he had such anxiety, his nerves were now being adversely affected, and he began to think that even life itself was gonna vaporize and he was gonna die, and he felt as though perhaps at any moment he could die. James Cash Penny, one night in the hospital, became so convinced that he would die that night, he wrote a little will to his parents, to his children, about what to expect from his parents and about what they could expect to have left when he died. James Cash Penny said concerning that night, I was so broken physically and filled with despair, unable to even see a ray of hope. I had nothing to live for. I felt I hadn't had a friend left in the world. Even my family was against me. That night, as he was sure that he would die, he thought he heard someone singing down the hallway. Sure enough, he heard it a little louder, and he asked someone nearby in the nurse's station to help him and get him over to a place where he might hear the singing, and they came and they assisted him out to the singing, which was in the hospital chapel. And as he listened more intently, and then as he went into the back of the chapel, he heard the song more clearly. The song said, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you." And the Spirit of God began to minister to his heart. He began to remember the lessons from Sunday school and from church. And James Cash Penny later said, "Suddenly something happened. I can't explain it. It was like a miracle. Within 20 seconds, I felt as though the darkness was lifted and the burdens were lifted. All of the worry left him. God revitalized. God gave him a restart with spiritual determination." And from that moment on until the day he died, James Cash Penny established 1,660 department stores because he realized, listen, problems come and trials come, but God will take care of you. And I don't know what's on your shoulders today, and I don't know what burden you bear with your health or with your family, but I do want to remind you this morning, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. The trials will come. Notice the testings. He said there's going to be problems. There's going to be trials. There's going to be testings. Notice in verse 23, he says, "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth." He said, I know the Holy Spirit is working in Jerusalem, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. He said, as sure as the Lord is at work there, there's going to be more bonds, there's going to be more afflictions, there's going to be more difficulty. But thank God he counted it all joy. And thank God, because he was bound in the Spirit, he went to the place where God had led him. I'm here to tell you today that if you intend to be a witness for Christ, if you intend to be used of God, there will come trials and testings in your life. I remember around our first Thanksgiving time here, we had just kind of got going in our building downtown, and I'd set up a little office down there in the basement of the old building at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard. Had my books up on a shelf, had my ordination certificate and college degree, and it was kind of nice to get a little place there. And we had a little room where I was preaching. We didn't have the big auditorium yet, but we had a little room upstairs, and we put some carpet, and I'd put a couple of speakers and a microphone. We were running 30 or 40. We didn't really need a sound system, but I was going to blast them out for Jesus. Amen. Had that set up there, and I came into work one morning and noticed the door was propped open. I went down into the little office downstairs, and someone had broken in and dumped all the books out on the floor and poured red Kool-Aid all over everything, broke the diplomas and broke the ordination certificate. Went upstairs and someone had stolen those brand new speakers, that microphone. And I realized in those very first few months that there's a real devil who is an adversary, who's like a roaring lion, who wanted me to move. He did not want me in Lancaster, California. And just several times along the way, he sent his messengers by just to say, "Move. You can get a church that can pay you. You don't need this. Move. You don't need this trial like this." But I'm here to tell you, by the grace of God, he's kept us in this place. I think of Gracia Burnham and her husband, missionary Burnham, who went to the Philippines on Mindanao Island. Martin and Gracia were there preaching the gospel one weekend. They took a few days to rest and went to a little hotel near the water in the Philippines. The Abu Sayyaf came and took them away as they were there resting, took them up into the mountains, tied this missionary couple to a tree where they lived for weeks and weeks, never released them to eat, never released them to use the restroom, just tied them to the trees like animals. Finally, a rescue team came to take the Burnhams away, and during the process, Martin was killed. Gracia later testified at a ladies' meeting these words: "Sometimes I wondered, why did Martin die when everyone's praying he wouldn't? Why does the scripture lead you to believe that your prayer will be answered a certain way? People all over the world have been praying for us, praying that we would both get out, but Martin did not get out. I used to have God in somewhat of a theological box. What I know now is that God is God and I am not. The world is in a mess because of sin, not because of God. Some awful things may happen to me, but God does what is right. He makes good out of bad. You know what I find? Sometimes the things that bother me and the things that bother you, it's rather embarrassing how little it takes to bother us. It's rather embarrassing what it takes to get us to move. It's rather embarrassing what it takes to get us offended. Rather embarrassing what it takes to get us to quit serving God. Paul said, none of these things move me. None of these things. People will not move me. Problems will not move me. I'm saying, if you're not bound in the Spirit, then you're just a step away from leaving the will of God. None of these things move me. He said, I will not let people move me. I will not let problems move me. Notice thirdly, he said, I will not let pride move me. Pride won't move me. Now stay with me for these final moments, because I believe more people leave God's will because of pride than any other thing. It's not the problem, and it's not the other people, what they're saying. It's how we respond in our pride. It's the attitude that we get that says, hey, I don't deserve this, man. I'm out of here. These people don't know what they got. Why? They don't understand. This company doesn't understand how good I am. And because of pride, people make decisions and they leave the will of God. Now notice what Paul says in verse 24. Everybody with me so far? Verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Now pride would not move him. Notice first of all, because he did not overvalue himself. And many times, people try to spiritualize. Pastors leave their pastorates, and people leave churches, and people leave companies, and husbands leave wives, and wives leave husbands, and they try to spiritualize it, you know, that look at, I deserve better than that. They weren't treating me right, and the company should have known, and my husband didn't, and my wife didn't. And before we know it, it's more about I. It becomes a pride problem. But Paul said something I think we all should learn. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Let's say that together. Neither count. In Romans 6, he calls it dying to self. You see, when we're dead to self and someone says something, when we're dead to self and something happens, when we're dead to self, then we're not so quick to say, that's it. Because you can't offend a dead man. If you're with me, say amen. He says, I don't count my life dear unto myself. It's not all about me, Gracia Burnham would say. It's all about him. And if he will allow some discomfort in my life so that by his grace I might glorify him, then that's the bigger picture. It's not about what this society says, my rights. It's not about my life this, my life that, my life matters. Listen, it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. You want to find the unhappiest people in the world? It's those that want to fight for themselves. I deserve this. I deserve that. Let me tell you what you deserve. And let me tell you what I deserve. A one-way ticket to hell. I don't deserve anything except God by his grace save me. I'm no better than anybody in this room except God by his grace save me. Do you understand that this morning, that God in his love reached down and saved you? I'm telling you, red, yellow, black, brown, white, everyone is precious in his sight. The ground is level at the cross, and hey, we don't deserve anything except by the grace of God. Paul said it this way. He said he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You see, sometimes we carry a worldly mindset into the church. Well, I'll tell you what, I've got this degree and I've got that degree, and I'm an engineer this and I'm a doctor this, and I went to this school and I went to this many churches and I have this kind of musical training. And I'll just tell you right now, my daughter's the smartest and my son's the handsomest and he's the best athlete. And I'll tell you right now, don't you get in our way. Because if you do, we're out of here. That's the attitude of the day in which we live. I just tell that boss right now, he doesn't know who he's got here. This whole company would fall apart if I walk out. Paul said, I'm not going to let my own pride move me. I've done played that stupid trick on myself before. I'm not going to convince myself that I'm all that important, because without Jesus, I'm nothing. Without Him, I'm nothing. You see, the only hope of a decreasing self is an increasing Christ. Realizing that He must increase. I must decrease. Paul said, I'm not going to overvalue myself. Secondly, he said, I must rely on the Holy Spirit. He said, if these situations will not move me, if my pride will not move me, then notice in verse 22, he says, now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit. You see, this was all about God's direct revelation to him. It was all about God's leadership in his life. It started that way on the road to Damascus, where the Holy Spirit was working on his heart and pricking against his heart. And now that he was saved, the Spirit of God was leading him. I got news for you. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you'll likely quit, because the flesh gets easily offended. But the Holy Spirit helps us to keep moving and to keep going on. He said, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to overvalue myself. Oh, that can happen. Preachers can think, oh, I'll tell you what, they just don't know what they have. And I'll tell you, there's churches that would want me more. And Christian servants can think, well, I just feel like I ought to have this or I ought to have that. They don't realize. Listen, the more we begin to think about I, the more discouraged and depressed we become. He did not overvalue himself. He did not rely on the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, he valued the ministry. You know, one of the reasons he didn't quit? Because he loved seeing people get saved. Let me ask you a question. Do you love seeing people get saved? I mean, I'm going to tell you something. When you stand before the Lord, I truly believe you're going to say, thank God I was a part of a church where people got saved and baptized every week, and where missionaries were supported, and where ministry was really happening. I'm thankful to God that I'm a part of that. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to take a whole lot more than 25 cents or a little better this or that. It's going to take a whole lot more than that for me to move. I want to say, I want to be faithful to the call of God. I want to be bound in the Spirit. Verse 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Notice now, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Hey, listen, some people come here for a job. Some people come here just because it's where they got transferred. But others of us have this sense that God was in the mix and God had a reason for it, and souls were in the balance, and there needs to be a bright and shining lighthouse. Yes, in Southern California, soul winning and preaching the gospel and standing without compromise. And not just the preacher, but how about some men who'll say, nothing's going to move me. I'll be faithful to the cause of God in this place. Amen. We have so often times, you know, just as soon as there's a little greener grass on the other side, Paul said, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. I go bound in the Spirit to do what God has called me to do. Notice, he says, I want to be a part of the ministry. Sometimes we might get a little discouraged, and we might not even see all that God is doing. Sometimes it may be a deacon just as backslidden, as cold, not seeing what God's doing. Sometimes it may be a preacher. Sometimes it may be a church member, just going through the motions, but not going in the Spirit. Do you know what I'm talking about? Going through the motion, checking off the calendar, but not walking in the Spirit. You may not always see it. You may not always know what's happening over in the mission field because of your support. You may not know about the children that were saved this morning because of buses that ran. We may not always know who got the gospel tract that we passed out. But I want to remind you today, God is at work, my friend. And Paul said, I'm not going to let problems. I'm not going to let people. I'm not going to let my pride get me out of a situation where souls are being saved and lives are being changed. And then finally, he said, because I want to finish my course with joy. He said, I'm not going to let my pride get me out of a place, get me out of a situation where I could finish my course with joy. Notice what he says. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Hey, he said, I want to finish my course with joy. I wonder how many of you would like to finish your course with joy. Not just finish the course. And you recognize that not every man in the Bible finished his course with joy. Do you realize it's no guarantee that I will? It's no guarantee that you will. That's why you've got to determine now. I'm not going to let people get me off this race. I'm not going to let problems get me off this race. I'm not going to let my pride get me in some other place. I'm going to stay faithful and finish my course with joy. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all of those that love his appearing. I'm telling you, I've preached dozens and dozens of funeral services at this church house, and I'm thankful to God that I've been able to preach about many men who finished their course with joy, and they kept the faith, and I mean, they were faithful unto the end. I don't want to be a used-to-be pastor. I don't want to be a used-to-be soul winner. I don't want to be a used-to-be good papa or daddy. I want to finish my course for Jesus Christ. Some of you, if you're not careful, it's just one glance of temptation away. It's just one pity party away. I'm telling you, it's just one sin away before they'll say, he used to be a good church member, but he didn't finish. He didn't finish. He quit. There ought to be some men in this room that ought to say, by the grace of God, none of these things are going to move me. I'm going to be a real man of God, bound in the Spirit. Not wearing my feelings right here so that if somebody doesn't do what I want or give me my parking spot or call me just enough times, I'm going to quit. No, I'm not here in the flesh. I'm here in the Spirit. I'm bound in the Spirit to do what God wants me to do. I'm so thankful for so many mentors and example in my life. I think of Dr. Lee Robertson, who preached here many times, pastored the same church for 40 plus years and had the joy of the Lord until the day God called him home in his 90s. I remember preaching with him in Atlanta and trying to help him lift up his bags into his car after we got done with a morning meeting. He said, no. If you have to put my bags up, then you're going to have to drive for me, that I won't be able to preach anymore. I'll put my own bags in. He wanted to serve the Lord till his last breath. Dr. Tom Malone, the great preacher that he was, and up into his 80s, preaching across America, finishing his course with joy. Dr. Don Sisk, a member of this very church, in his mid-80s, having the joy of the Lord somewhere in America, no doubt this morning, preaching about the joy of serving Jesus Christ. Hey, don't be one of these men that gets into your 50s or 60s or 70s, and it's just all bad and sad and sorrowful. Hey, listen, there is joy in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I want to finish my course with joy. Why don't some of you men go home and smile at your wife, even if it scares her right at first? Just try it. Finish the course with joy. I think there's one final verse in your notes this morning. Let's read it together, shall we? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Is that in your notes?
Yes, sir.
Let's read it together. Ready, begin. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know. Now, some of you had put your notes away. You thought we were going home early. You thought you were going to beat the Methodist at Denny's. I know you. But let's read it one more time, all right? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Ready, begin. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How many right now here this morning say, Pastor Chapel, I don't know a lot, but by the grace of God, I want to finish my course with joy. I know that much. Would you lift your hand together with me? My hand is raised. That's what I want to do. One day when that trumpet sounds, I want to be not only raptured out of here, but I want to look out of the corner of my eye and see some members of Lancaster Baptist that were faithful right till that last moment and just kind of wink at you on the way up. We probably won't see it, but I'm going to do it anyways. Like, yes! Yes! It's not just that we're going to heaven, but we live for Jesus till the last moment. We live for Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chapel on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchapel.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.